Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Hain gar didaskon autos hos exousion. It's Greek to me. Perhaps Greek to you as well. But an interesting declaration, a statement that pops into our gospel lesson, and perhaps one that's easy to kind of gloss past and lose sight of. What it roughly translates to is, for he taught them as one having authority. What does that mean? To teach with authority. It's rather significant, really. But yet, our nature, our desire, is to read that and say, okay, uh-huh, and then you keep reading, and next thing you know, Jesus is engaging with an unclean spirit. A man with an unclean spirit comes into the synagogue, and he's you know, making all these bold declarations, you know, I know who you are. The Holy One of God, have you come here to destroy us? And so immediately we're kind of sucked into this. It's kind of a human thing, after all. I mean, we all watch programs on television and read books, and we understand the lure of the battle between good and evil. I mean, it's the basis for a lot of what constitutes entertainment. There's the hero and the antagonist. There's the good guy and the bad guy. They're going at it. And we're watching it. We want to see the good guy win. We love this stuff. These battles. And here we have a supernatural battle taking place. Well, kinda. It's not much of a battle. I mean, the demon, the unclean spirit, doesn't even really put up a fight. Really, he's just showing up to register a complaint. Hey, what are you doing here? Have you come to destroy us? This devil is doing a check. The judgment here? Is this the final judgment? Because you're here. You're here. You're the Son of God. You have authority. The devils know full well that on the final day, there's going to be a judgment and that they are going to be cast into the lake of fire. And this thing isn't even necessarily pleading for mercy even. It's just like, I know who you are. What are you doing here? Is time up? Game over? And so we're wrapped up in this. We're like, this is awesome. Jesus is kicking butt today. You know, and that's it. Jesus with an authoritative word. Come out. Boom. Out. Done. Problem solved. Hero wins. And that's an obvious point of authority. And the people are astounded. They're marveling at this. Because, well, granted, not all of us have experience with exorcism, and it's not an entirely common thing for us to encounter here in the 21st century in America, but it's a problematic thing throughout the world. It still happens and takes place. But generally speaking, you know, accounts of exorcisms, these aren't like, you know, a priest shows up or a pastor shows up, says one sentence, boom, done. Okay, hey, I mean, hours, hours and hours of toiling and teaching and catechesis and prayer. And so it was likely even at that time. So to see an unclean spirit literally cast out by a simple, single command, people are taking notice. This Jesus, he's got some serious authority. Because after all, I mean, granted again, because we're in a secular kind of culture, we don't necessarily look at demons and evil spirits and things of that nature as being a big concern. But historically, when cultures predominantly believed in these things, and yes, they do exist, this was a serious fear for people. I mean, nobody here wants to be overtaken by some other entity and losing control of themselves. I mean, there's the account of the demoniac, the man who's possessed in Mark's gospel, that's chained up and left in a cemetery. The people don't know what to do with the guy. So it's like, we'll keep him chained up over here, and every time somebody tries to deal with him, he breaks the chains and beats him up and stuff, and it's just This is serious business. And so for Jesus to show up and do this is just like, wow. There's something special about this guy. And so here I've been talking for like 4 minutes, 5 minutes about this, because we want to jump here. We want to look at this and be in awe of it. But then we forget all about that business where he taught with authority. Because perhaps teaching with authority is a little less tangible. I mean, we can look at an event where there's a clearly obvious outcome. We see that a person is possessed and then the demon's kicked out. We can see that, at least in our imagination. But what does teaching with authority register like in our mind? I mean, when you think about somebody teaching, it's just somebody sitting there talking at you. It's not exciting. It's not, you know, like, woohoo, he's teaching with authority. Is he like thumping on the pulpit? I don't know. And so we jump. Instead of wrestling with this business, without wrestling with this statement, what does it mean? What does it mean that he taught with authority? Well, let's put on our thinking caps and put on the shoes of the people at this time. And we have to think about what's going on here. He's in the synagogue. Who is usually teaching in a synagogue at this time? Pharisees and Sadducees. And they're bickering with each other about whether or not the resurrection of the dead's even a thing that's going to happen. And it's all man-made laws and rituals and things of that nature. This is the first time that these people are hearing the clear, true word of God. Without all the baggage and filth and works righteousness and pomp of the Pharisees and the Sadducees on top of it. They're hearing the good news for the first time. That's not to say that they didn't believe in God, but the word was heavily, heavily hidden by the teachers of that time. And we know, as God's people today, the faith comes through hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. The authoritative, true, pure word of God. This is what Jesus is doing. We're getting these two things connected too, because it's the word of God that casts out the devil. It's the word of God that sets the one who is trapped in slavery and bondage to the devil free. It's that authoritative word that does all things. It's the word that brings all that is into existence. And so we're seeing in our gospel lesson this morning, and that's the point of it being here in the season of Epiphany, this revelation, this revealing of Jesus as who he is, as he claims to be, the very word of God in the flesh, the Son of God, come down to earth to save sinners, to defeat the devil. He does it all perfectly through word and deed, revealing himself. Now, granted, he tells the unclean spirit to hush. It's like, hey, quiet. Which is a common theme that you see in the Gospels. Because, well, he's God, and he has a right to dictate the terms about when and where and how he's revealing himself. But ultimately, that's the point in the long run of his earthly ministry, is to reveal himself as the very God of all heaven and earth among us to save us. And so, yes, on the one hand, that deals with casting out the devil, overcoming the darkness. But it's not by mere brute force that he does this, but by a single authoritative command, his holy word, that accomplishes all things. So, yes, this is what we're being drawn to today to see. This exousion, this power, dominion, authority of Christ, of who he is and what he can do and what he is here to do for us. To bring us his word of salvation, to point us to him as our Savior. He's preaching the word of God. Yes, rightly dividing law and gospel, because you better believe you need both. both in authority, because all of it is the Word of God. I mean, we understand the law. The Word of God to us, thou shalt not. How we are to live according to God's holy and right and just will and desire for His creation. And when we look at the law, we see we have a problem. And when we look at the revealed Word of God, we see why we have that problem. It's because our first parents rebelled against God. They put themselves into opposition with God. They followed the devil, and therefore all of humanity was enslaved to the devil. Our nature darkened. And so it is then that on account of the sin that we have inherited and the sin that we have done, because we have violated the law of God, His holy authoritative word declares condemnation. The wages of sin is death and hell. Plain and simple. That's the authoritative word of God declared to the law. And because we have all sinned, that is what we rightly and justly deserve, is sin that leads to death and hell, because we are sinners who sin. We have that original sin inherited. It's in us at work each and every day. And the devil likes to prod at it and tempt it and continue to deceive and lead us astray. And so through the light of God's word, we see our condition. In fact, even a hopelessness by our own strength and power and will under the law. But that's not the entirety of the authority of God's word. Because He also declares unto us the forgiveness of sins. The good news, the gospel, which is Christ Himself for us. That God, knowing our condition, became man Himself and placed Himself under the law that we daily break, that we fail to keep. And He Himself upheld it perfectly and went to the cross to shed His blood, to be poured out as a perfect sacrifice in our stead, that His righteousness under the law would be counted to us, and that our sin, our failure, would be laid upon Him and defeated. And there on that cross, He declared another authoritative statement. It is finished. And just as the devils must flee when He declares, go, depart, His word is most certainly true when He declares to us that we are forgiven of all our sins by faith in Him alone. He taught with authority. This is what He taught with authority, that He is the Savior, that He is the one who sets us free from sin, death, and the devil. By His own work, by His own word, by His own passion, life, death, resurrection for you. He does it all for you with authority, because He is God in the flesh. He's revealing this to us through His word for us to cling to and take comfort in and be strengthened by here today as His people. And it is this very same good news that goes out into the world with authority, that others may hear, believe, and be saved. So yes, it's fun to jump to the action. But let us not forget the beauty of God's word, His teaching. Because it's there that we can cling to this wonderful good news from His lips to the page, to your eyes, to your ears, to your heart, that He is your Savior. And because He has done it and has declared it, it so shall be. By the grace of God, may we ever continue to be pointed to Him, to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, who has revealed Himself to be the one who has overcome our greatest foes and has made us children of God by His blood. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.